Hello, and welcome to another edition of Around the Corner, the CoveringTheCorner.com Prospects and Minor Leagues podcast. I am your co-host, Matt Schlichting, joined as always by Brian Heminger. Brian, yo!
Yo! it's a good time to be a fan of Guardians Prospects, because we need to watch something that, you know, hits.
Ouch. Throwing the major leaguers under the bus, huh?
Well, they deserve it.
Oof. Well, I was thinking, you said it's a great time to be a fan of Guardians Prospects. And it feels like, you know, I can't remember who the announcer was, but he always opened the game with, it's a beautiful day for baseball. Because it always is. Let's play two, right?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's just, you know, we're in a situation where the main club's struggling. And honestly, some of the more exciting players on the main club right now are the young rookies, you know, the Tanner Bibees, the Logan Allens, the you know, Tyler Freemans, the David Fries. I'm enjoying seeing them get in there and make things happen.
Brian, would you venture to say that those dudes have been tearing it up?
Those guys have been doing great. I mean, Bibee did finally have his first bad start, and possibly of his entire career, against the Tigers. So that surprised me a little bit, but he's been great, and I'm sure that he'll bounce back in his next start.
Well, I'm excited. We're already talking shop a little bit here, so we'll go ahead and kick things off. We do have unfortunate news to start the countdown. Brian?
Yeah.
Daniel Espino.
It shouldn't come as a huge surprise after last episode. If you remember, I think I kind of went on a little depressing mini rant about how I was pretty sure Daniel Espino is going to need surgery.
Oh, that's baseball.
Yes. So, and that's what happened. You know, he had surgery on his shoulder. He's going to be out for a year to 14 months. And hopefully this fully recovers. Now, you always hear about pitchers that had this injury, the scapula shoulder thing, and that it ended their career. But a lot of times when the pitchers had this injury, it was pitchers that were older that had a lot of wear and tear on their arms, like, you know, Johan Santana. So I'm hoping and praying that this is not a Johan Santana situation with Espino, and that instead it is a Luis Urias situation, because he went through the exact same thing, except I think he might have been a year younger than Espino when he had to have his surgery. And basically, it knocked him out for over a year, and then it took him a little while to get, you know, back into the tune of things. But now he's the best pitcher on the Los Angeles Dodgers on a team that has, you know, Clayton Kershaw and Tony Gonsolin and Dustin May. So,
speaking of the Dodgers, the exact injury was he had surgery to repair an anterior capsule, which sounds like part of a spaceship, but I trust that it's physiology. Yeah. And interestingly, the doctor who did the surgery, I hope I'm pronouncing Dr. Neil Elatrache correctly, but he is the team physician for the Dodgers and the Rams. So I do find it interesting that the guy who did the surgery.
I wonder if he's the same guy that did it on Urias. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, obviously, if he's a team physician for the Dodgers. But that's just, we got to hope. You know, Daniel Espino is one of the hardest working kids, constantly working on his strength, his flexibility.
It was the same surgeon.
Okay, that's good to hear. So I'm hoping we get the same result. Now, the only issue is, you know, before Urias really became dominant, it took 2 to 3 years. And then all of a sudden he became amazing and, you know, has not been injured since and has been able to go 180 innings in a season. So I'm praying that we get that situation and not, you know, loses a few ticks on his fastball and tries to overcompensate and just spends the rest of his career injuring himself. So
sure,
I'm just not even going to think about that.
We don't want him in a van down by the river. We want him on the mound.
Next up, we've got, how is our number two prospect doing?
Gavin Williams appears to be an effective baseball pitcher. I wish we could talk about what he did today, but we're going to save it. For the previous 2 weeks, he started a couple of games for a total of 10 innings pitched, striking out a little more than 9 per 9. Walked 4 1/3 or so, but the real headline here is that he had an ERA of 0.87 and a whip of 0.87. Struck out 11 guys, only 4 hits. One of them was a home run, and that was the only earned running allowed. It seems like he's continuing to liquidate his opponents.
Yeah, and he's doing that at AAA after being promoted. And
pretty great.
Even better, you know, we're not going to talk about his start today because it'll be in our next podcast, but his start today was insane. But before his start today, he had the lowest batting average against of any starting pitcher in Cleveland's system. And I think he had the lowest batting average against of any starting pitcher possibly in baseball, in minor league baseball last year. Like, there's just something about the way this guy throws the ball that hitters cannot pick up that baseball. They just don't get hits against him very often. It's super exciting. The only issue, really, in terms of what's keeping him from the major leagues right now is just a little bit more refinement on the command. You know, we're seeing a few walks here and there, and you know that major leaguers they're able to lay off some of those pitches that the minors guys just cannot avoid swinging at. So I think he's close, and I can't wait. So it's an exciting time to be a Guardians fan in terms of pitching, because we're already seeing Bibee and Allen have success. And, you know, Battenfield's been hit and miss, but he was never a guy that was even in our like top 20 for Let's Go Tribe or for Covering the Corner. And, you know, here comes Gavin Williams, the next big thing. So it's really, really exciting that all these guys are hitting at the same time.
It's certainly not a bad thing. And I'm struggling to recall a time I was quite this excited about a pitching prospect who was this close. See, he feels, I'm struggling to say out loud that he feels like a sure thing in terms of we may expect some fantastic pitching from him at the major league level, but the fact that I'm thinking that at all, I'm maybe someone can go through the back catalog and call me out if they want, but this is great. I'm just excited. I'm little boy excited about this prospect. It's fun.
Yeah, it really is. And the best part is, you know, obviously, you know, Gavin Williams, Logan Allen, Daniel Espino, Tanner Bibee, those guys are all like top 10 prospects, but there's more coming. There's more coming. And that makes me even more excited, knowing that, say, something happens and, you know, some of these guys have some struggles. Like, there's more coming down the pipe that we can still get excited about. It's not just this quick wave of super prospects. So I think that's really where I can keep that focus on down the road on what's coming next.
Because the engine continues to churn.
Yeah. I think my favorite thing, anytime a Cleveland Guardians rookie makes his debut and is amazing, if you ever go on Reddit, the Major League Baseball subreddit, they'll post Cleveland Guardians debut, 6 innings, 8 strikeouts, 1 run allowed, 2 hits, no walks. And the first comment is always Cleveland pitching factory go.
It really does.
Go. Because it just always is. That's just how it works.
Well, and my favorite thing too is every year I feel like there's like a John Boy or someone kind of like that who goes, who even is this guy who just shut us out? You know, like it's great. I love it.
Mm-hmm. And so that's the thing that I can't wait for is to see just who's the next one that's going to be breaking out and making an impact. So
only time will tell. Do we have, Brian, any news about the number 3 man on our countdown since we last met?
We do.
Woo!
Now you remember I said last podcast that George Valera is probably going to be debuting before the next one. Now that didn't happen, but he is extremely close, as in like within the next day or two close, because They had Roman Quinn on the Columbus Clippers roster. You know, the guy that some people thought was going to make the opening day roster.
I remember this, for Cleveland.
And he got released today. So there's only one reason they would be doing that, and that's because they've got another outfielder that they're about to add. And that outfielder is going to be George Valera. So he is just, like, any day he will be added to the Columbus Clippers roster. So he will be finally making his season debut, I would think, at some point by this weekend. Mm-hmm. So
there was chatter in the Discord today about when Valera returns. Do people think the injury this season might push him back to 2024? And so I was wondering what your thought is about how well he'd have to play.
Well, at first, it's not even just how well he'd have to play. It's all he has to do is be himself, because he's excellent. Like, just average George Valera is about, what, 120, 130 WRC plus at pretty much any level he's ever played at. If he just goes out there and does that, that's good enough.
That's a good stat.
Because he had, some experience at AAA last year. Not a ton, but enough. And the outfield needs a jolt. I mean, I love Will Brennan. I love Stephen Kwan. I think Miles Straw is a great defender. But they have the lowest OPS of any outfield in baseball. I mean, it's embarrassing. They're just not hitting for power. Like, even if they were just hitting for more doubles, I'd be happy. But they're not. Like, they're just slap hitting the ball everywhere. And
it's devoid of slug.
And we need somebody that's going to come in there and crank a ball over the fence and throw the bat 50 yards.
I agree.
And George Valera, basically, just by existing and with how bad the outfield has been in terms of the slugging provided, just the fact that he exists is going to give him an opportunity, as long as he doesn't get hurt again. Like, if he just comes back and shakes off the rust a little bit, he could be in Cleveland by June.
Dang.
But again, it's more not that he's been great, because he's been hurt, but just how bad they've been. You know, we've already seen Oscar demoted. They're playing Gabriel Arias in right field right now. I mean, come on.
I have some thoughts, but I have generally, I think, been keeping them to myself for the most part this year.
And I love Will Brennan, but he hasn't been the same Will Brennan that he was last year, when he just burst onto the scene and got over 100 RBIs and was just cranking doubles and extra base hits and steals and home runs. I mean, he was just all over the place. And he's been good defensively. He's, fouled off a lot of pitches, but he's fouling off too many pitches that he should be hitting hard, too. So we'll get to that, though, because I think he is on our countdown list. tell us a little bit about our number four guy on the list.
Tanner Bibee is the number four player on our countdown. In the last couple of weeks, he made two more starts at the major league level. Totaling 9 innings pitched, he struck out 7. I want to pull up his game log, because if I recall, he had one pretty good start.
Yeah, he had one excellent start and the Tiger start.
Yes. So
the Tiger start cancels out a lot of the good.
So to break down his performances into the good and the bad, at New York on the 2nd of May, he had 5 1/3, gave up 2 on 4 hits, 5 strikeouts, 1 home run. Very nice. Against Detroit, he went 3 2/3, 7 hits, 4 earned runs, 4 walks. It's the kind of line where if it wasn't his rookie season, I would wonder if you'd maybe let him try to just pitch it out at that point. Mm-hmm. But I'm also not sure what his pitch count was through 3 2/3 either.
Yeah, it was rough. Like, he was just getting hit. He hadn't walked anybody his first two starts, and then he walks 4 against Detroit. The one thing I've noticed about Bibee, and I've been loving every start that I've watched of him this season, is fastball command still isn't quite there. Like, he's still got command of the changeup, the slider, the curveball. It seems like he's still, he has it at moments, but he's still trying to find that fastball command where he can dot it wherever he wants. And because a lot of times when he rears back and tries to put a little extra zip on it to get somebody to swing at like a, you know, that pitch at the top of the zone. He's, you know, pulling a little extra hard and it's going a foot over the zone. And it's just not a pitch that guy, that professional hitters at the major league level are swinging at.
Well, and where his fastball sits now, because he did gain some velocity after entering the system, he doesn't really need to reach back for more at this point,
well,
I don't think.
I mean, so when he sits at about 95, and then when he just wants that little extra bit, you can tell like he does something a little different, and he'll get it up there to 99. Yeah, that's the issue, is he's having a little more trouble with that commanding, especially when he rears back for that extra. Watching him in the minors, he was getting a lot of strikeouts on his fastball, and he hasn't had quite as many this at the major league level yet. It's because of fastball command. He's getting a lot of his strikeouts on his changeup against lefties and on his slider against everyone. The underlying statistics are still sensational. Like his spin rate is ridiculous. Like it's right up there, slider spin rates, with some of the best sliders in the game. So I'm not worried whatsoever about Bybee. I'm just looking forward to when he can, you know, command that fastball a little bit better, because if you liked what we've seen so far, I think we haven't seen anything yet.
Woo. Well, moving right along, introduce number five, Brian.
Well, number five is Brian Rocchio, who is just wasting away in Triple A right now. But he had another rock solid 2 weeks, slashing .310, .341, .548. You know, after a little bit of a power outage in the beginning of the year, he has really started to tap into those extra base hits. Over a 10-game stretch, he had 13 hits with 3 doubles, 2 triples, and a home run, scored 7 runs, struck out 8 times, walked twice, 6 RBIs. He's just been great. I mean, he's not walking a whole lot, but when he's hitting the ball, he's hitting the ball hard. And he's been good all season. Like, he's just locked in.
Yes.
And he's been great defensively.
It's been very enjoyable. And is it weird that I'm most excited about the 2 triples?
I was excited about the home run because that was his first of the year. Like, I was wondering where that was going, where what was happening there, because, you know, he's got some pop. You know, he's still, you know, not the, you know, the most muscular dude, but, you know, he can get around and put a charge into one. And it was nice to see him do that. So, yeah, I mean, he's definitely making really good, loud contact right now. And he's been doing it. He's been making good contact all season.
Happy to hear that the defense has been very good so far this
like
year, too.
Right now, I would take Gabriel Arias, Tyler Freeman, or Brian Rocchio starting at shortstop over Ahmed Rosario right now.
The shame.
All three of them. And we've got 2 of them at the major league level right now, and they're just not starting over, because once out of every 30 games, Rosario goes 4 for 4, and we think he's back.
There are certain faces around the organization that I'd be curious to see when the lineup card gets submitted. I'm not suggesting it's like Moneyball level, we've got to trade Tony Pena, but I don't know.
I think about that sometimes.
They're kind of weird lineups.
Like, he's like, what was his? Yeah, start Hatterberg at first base. Come on. No, Pena's a better first baseman. that was just one of the best little mini feuds in the Moneyball. But
And there's always going to be situations like this in baseball where there's a guy who looks like he's ready. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't, and everyone's champing at the bit for him to get a chance. It's just maybe because we've been following these guys for years now, we're like, come on.
Yeah, I'm ready to see what these guys can do. Just let them go. Let them rip. So, like, I just don't really see the point of a guy that's not going to be here next year being such a massive, you know, hurdle for all these young studs to getting a chance. So, I don't know. Like, I don't want someone to get hurt, but
I know, like, what you mean.
It would be so convenient if he, you know, that back flared up again.
I was thinking turf toe.
Nothing serious. Nothing serious, but just like, you know, just having some reason to play Tyler Freeman or Gabriel Arias at shortstop every day right now.
Well, my ideal scenario is that Rosario just keeps hitting triples. He goes on a tear. His value shoots up. We have the wonderful everybody's playing well scenario. We'll see. I'm trying to be more realistic about this season than I was in the spring when I predicted 107 wins. But
yeah, I knew that wasn't happening, but I thought they'd be better than last year even. So, well, it's still a little early, I think. Anyway, tell us a little bit about our number six prospect.
Bo Naylor put up some numbers that just make me think of Albert Bell at this point. Like, he slashed 324, 410, 676.
Yeah, baby.
Three doubles, three home runs, five walks, one intentional, eight strikeouts. That screams Joey Bell to me. I don't know. And, he's got the on-base percentage above 40%. He's got a slugging percentage in the stratosphere.
And with Mike Zunino striking out like 55% of the time right now, it's looking more and more like bow time here, the more we wait.
I will note that Bo Naylor was caught stealing once. The nerve.
Yeah, he hasn't really been stealing much this year, or hasn't had that same success.
Honestly?
But you know what? That's not exactly something that you're relying on from a catcher.
And we know he can steal bases at AAA. I'd rather he not, and just don't worry about getting hurt. You know, like if we need to use it at the major league level to get some action on the base paths when we do, great. It's good to know that he can run, but he doesn't need to steal 20 bases. The bat's plenty good. He scored 10 runs, too. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, 11 hits and what was it? Five walks. So out of 16 times on base, he scored 10.
Yeah, five plus the one intentional walk.
Like, Josh Bell doesn't have 10 runs all season, and he walks like every game. I mean, that has more to do with who's betting behind him, but still. Should Josh Bell bat leadoff?
So, now that we're getting to the latter half, or not we're well past the latter half, we're in the evening of the countdown. I think this might be the last time we get to discuss this player.
Yes, it is. I noticed it as well. Will Brennan was removed from MLB Pipeline's top 30 for the Cleveland Guardians.
Congratulations, William. You're a Major League Baseball player.
So taking his place in MLB Pipeline's top 30 is my corner cupboard stud, Joe Lamp.
You scoundrel.
Yep. So that usually means that MLB Pipeline thinks he's better than that. It's just he was the next guy that wasn't ranked at the time.
So do you get to grandfather him into the... I guess you do. Yeah, like that.
And ours isn't for MLB Pipeline top 30.
That's right.
It's for the covering the corner.
You scoundrel. Well played.
Because MLB Pipeline top 30 has Jake Fox at 10.
I mean, oh, does it really? I scanned the pipeline today to check for Will Brennan and didn't see it, but I did not go in depth, apparently. That's quite a bump. I really don't think it's true, but what if MLB Pipeline's listening right now? They're like, oh, okay, all right, we got a perfect, okay.
But that does mean, well, first let's talk about Will Brennan.
And of course, yeah, we're gonna make a tangent there.
And then when we get to the end, we're going to have to make a decision on which player we're going to include next week.
Let me pull up the line of pipes and our website, coveringthecorner.com.
Yeah. So I've got...
We have a Cleveland prospects and minor league section under the sections tab on the homepage.
We do.
And the link's broken.
Oh. Well, I have...
Man.
Here you go. That's our list of the Thank stuff you. From this year. Because I already had it pulled up. Anyway... Yeah, Will Brennan, still struggling. You know, we talked about it a little bit already. Just trying to find himself. He did hit his first home run of the season down Pesky Pole in Fenway. So that was nice. But other than that, it's still been a bit of a struggle bus. 56 WRC+, batting 208, 240, 333. Did steal two bases, which was nice. But no walks during that entire stretch. Not a fan of that. And then just the five hits with the four singles and a homer. So, I mean, the good news is when he gets on base, he's making things happen. He's stealing bases. He's, you know, doing his thing, but just need to see a little more. And especially since Oscar got sent down, he should be getting a lot more playing time. And yeah, this is it, because there's a certain George Valera that is getting ready to make his Columbus debut for the year. And if, you know, Brennan keeps putting up the numbers he's putting up, they're going to have to call up that other lefty.
Number nine on the countdown.
Yeah, Logan Allen had two starts in Cleveland, and they were his second and third start in a Guardians uniform. And he was terrific. When a combined 10 and two-thirds innings pitched, struck out 11, walked four, gave up 11 hits, allowed four runs, which was good for a 3.38 ERA. Yeah, I mean, that's just good. I mean, it's not elite. I mean, his whip isn't anything to sneeze at with a 1.4, but so he's been giving up a few hits, but he's still doing his thing. He is attacking the zone. He's throwing that slider. His changeup has been excellent. It honestly, I like watching him face righties more than I like watching him face lefties, because that changeup, he's faced so many righties throughout his whole career that I think he's more comfortable facing them. You know, the sweeper slider that he's kind of added more recently, that's for lefties. So that's still something that's a little new to his arsenal. But I've really been enjoying Logan Allen. I mean, he's just sitting comfortably at like 93, 94 as a solid left-handed pitcher and hitting his spots, throws strikes, attacks the zone. So you can't just sit there and wait for a good hitter's count, because he's just going to get ahead. So he's forcing guys to, you know, swing early in counts and still getting strikeouts. So I'm liking what I'm seeing out of Logan Allen. He looks extremely comfortable at the major league level.
I'm delighted. He instantly has become an important part of the rotation. We knew he was going to be a good player, but I didn't necessarily expect that his impact would be this immediate.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason they sent Zach Plesac to the minors. I mean, they're like, you know what, Logan Allen, he's the truth, baby. When Aaron Civale and Tristan McKenzie are coming back, you know, if Cleveland decides to have Bieber, Quantrill, Civale, and McKenzie all still in the starting rotation, they probably will. Logan Allen's making it tough on which one between him and Bibee Cleveland's going to keep in the starting rotation. That's a good thing.
Like, well stated all around.
Yeah. Last but not least, tell us a little bit about our number 10.
So Chase DeLauter /foot is broken.
Yes. Did have the foot surgery in the offseason. The good news is he has doing some baseball activities. He is playing in Arizona.
Excellent.
I believe he is expected to debut in June at some point. Like, I don't know exactly when in June, but
that's kind of the timeline.
The good news.
Yep. I wasn't aware that he was up on his feet and playing baseball again. It's excellent that he's up in the Arizona League.
I don't know if he's like playing in games. I just know he's doing some baseball activities. So that makes me excited.
I'm excited about it too. I'm like with Valera, there was this period of time where we had heard some things about him, but hadn't really gotten to see him play professional ball yet.
So now we need to make a decision on who is going to be our new number 10 prospect when we return in 2 weeks. So we've got some options. Like, MLB Pipeline is like really big on some extra young guys that aren't even playing right now, like Angel Gannau and Jason Churio. So I'm going to nix them.
Okay.
I'm going to nix Cody Morris because I think once he's ready to come back, they're probably just going to put him in the bullpen right away. And hasn't pitched all season anyway because of injury. So I think it comes down to two guys, John Kenzie Noel or Joey Cantillo.
My vote's for Joey Cantillo.
That's my vote as well.
No disrespect to Mr. Noel, but Cantillo has sort of popped in and out of the top five of the week for a while. Was he in your cupboard at one point, or am I making that up?
Never. Nope. Never okay. In the cupboard. Last year, it was Will Dion all the way. So I've been extra excited about him this year because he's healthy. He's been pitching regularly, and he's throwing, 98 miles an hour. So, as a starting pitcher with that's a southpaw. So
one thing I wanted to note before we move along to the corner cupboard here is when we read, I'm going to reread Brian Rocchio's slash line in his WRC+, and this is the International League at AAA. So he slashed 310, 341, 548, and that was a WRC+ of 118. So WRC+ is adjusted for the overall league. To give an idea, I guess, of how much more difficult Major League Baseball is, Wander Franco for the Rays has slashed 310, 365, 556. So a little bit better, but
very, that WRC very
plus transfers to 157 at the Major League level, just to give you an idea of how much more difficult average hitting is when you get to this show.
Yeah, that's nuts. And you know what? If Brian Rocchio can come up here and do that 310, 341, 548, I will take that in a heartbeat.
That's at shortstop with that defense. Extend him forever, We'll see. We are getting excited and looking into the future. Bad. Are you ready for the corner cupboard, Brian?
Let's do it.
Yes. At this time, I will allow you to introduce your batter.
So, my dude is Joe Lampa, the newly inscribed, or not inscribed, but newly top 30 MLB pipeline player. He actually is experiencing his first little slump. After the first two podcasts where he was like a fringe top five guy, player of the week, this time around, he's slashing a 171, 190, 341. He did hit, and what's funny is he was making insane contact and getting on base like crazy at the top of the lineup for Lake County, and then he turns around and smacks his first two home runs in consecutive games, like right at the beginning of two weeks ago, like right when we were recording our podcast. So I was like, oh, baby, he's going to be scorching for the next 2 weeks. He hit those two home runs, and then that's been pretty much all he's done. He only had 7 hits and 42 plate appearances. And after walking like crazy, he only walked one time in 10 games. So not sure exactly what's been going on with him, but I'm sure he'll be right back to, having good at-bats. Could just be, those first two home runs got him excited and he's trying to sell out for power or something, but that happens, Sometimes hitting a home run can be bad for you.
Baseball.
So tell us a little bit about your position player.
My batter for this week was Jake Fox. Also a struggle bus passenger. There's the word. Struggle bus passenger. I'm just going to move on. He had a WRC+ of 19 because he slashed 167, 231, 167. That'll happen. 4 games, 2 hits, a couple of singles. He scored a run and he drew a walk. So he did a thing.
Yeah. He just didn't play a lot of games. I think he actually had a day-to-day injury. Like, he wasn't officially on any injured lists, but he missed several games.
Yes, thank you for pointing that out. He recently did just come back.
Yeah, more recently returned to the lineup. So, it's tough to judge in a 4-game stretch. I mean, if he'd had hit like 3 more doubles, he'd have had a line like, Corey Holland. So
right, and not saying I think this is it or that I hope it happens, but if it ends up being something like, an oblique strain or something like that, then he's probably going to struggle for a little bit when he comes back. That hurts. Baseball's a rotational sport.
And then next up with me, Parker Messick had 2 starts. So he had 1 great start. Messick went 4 shutout innings with 5 strikeouts and 1 walk and 3 hits allowed. And then he had a start with 1/3 of an inning pitched, where he only faced 5 batters, gave up a hit, walked 2, struck out 1, and allowed 2 earned runs. So I have no idea what happened in the game that he didn't get out of the first inning.
It's interesting to me, yeah, that they would let him only face the one batter. I wonder if they're... I could see the value in just pulling the plug on a start with someone at A-ball.
I don't know if it was weather-related or... I mean, there were a lot of rainouts this last week.
That could have been it, too.
I haven't been paying attention enough to know what happened in that start. All I do know is we're going to be talking up Parker Messick next week or next podcast.
You know.
I don't know if you saw, but he had an okay start today.
He did decently.
It was right up there with Mr. Williams.
Mm. Well, we will be excited to hear about that when the time comes.
I'm hoping he does it one more time so we can make him top 5 of the week too. So
that would be fun. My pitcher is Jack Leftwich. And this will say everything. He started 2 games and he pitched 3 innings.
Oh,
yeah. It was a little bit of an interesting time. He allowed 4 hits, 6 runs, all earned. Had a home run, 4 walks. He did strike out 6 guys, but his ERA was 18.
Yeah, that's not
And
good.
His FIP was above 7. Over 7. More than 7? Yeah, it's a lot.
That's a lot. That's not good.
His WHIP was up there. It doesn't matter. It was a tough week. It's a tough couple of weeks.
Speaking of FIP, I forgot to bring this up because I thought it is amazing. In Joey Cantillo's stud start, where he got his 13 strikeouts, what do you think his FIP was?
Did he have a negative FIP?
Maybe.
I'm going to go negative 0.27.
Negative 0.78.
Jesus!
So literally, he could have just told the infielders and outfielders to just go into the dugout, and the FIP thinks that he would have been just fine.
Adios, amigos.
All he needed was a catcher.
This one. Random aside, a coworker for the first time recently heard the story about Doc Ellis pitching a no-hitter on acid. They were so excited about it. It was great. I love seeing the first time someone hears a story.
You should tell that coworker the story about the player that got struck by lightning.
Oh gosh.
You've heard about that one, right?
I have. I can't really remember.
I think he was throwing a shutout, and it was like the 9th inning, and he got knocked unconscious, struck by lightning on the pitcher's mound, got up, was resuscitated, and finished the game.
That's right. What an absolute Chad.
And I think he got his shutout. So, yeah, that's an all-timer right there. But I would tell that one next. Like, look up all the details, because, like, there's like a newspaper article about it, like the day it happened, and it was like the 1920s or something. So,
it's like the scene from Caddyshack, except he Highlander style absorbs the energy and just finishes the game.
Yep. And before we get to the transactions of the week or of the 2 weeks, there is one little miniature thing that we have decided we're going to be keeping track of this year, and that is Lynchburg stealing.
That's right.
Now, I haven't gone back and checked how many total steals they had, but since our last podcast, they had a game with 9 steals.
Sure.
So
why not?
You know, they set the record with 12, and they're like, oh, you can try for 12 again. And they got 9. So I think they had 4 separate people steal 2 bases that game. It was insane. So they are so fun to watch.
I'm going to have to start tuning in. Now I see the Parker Messick start. Goodness. That'll be fun. he stole some bases today. Are they doing?
Lynchburg did?
Yeah. Okay.
How many did they steal today? Let's see. Oh, my God. Okay.
I'm counting Let's 10.
Let's see. 3 plus 2. It's...
They stole so many bases, it's really hard to count how many bases they stole.
So that's 6 plus 2, 8 plus 2, 10. Yeah, that's 10. There's still 10 more today.
Nate Furman has 19 stolen bases.
Yeah, that is absolutely ridiculous.
They're gonna set.
That team is so fun.
So rare, am I fully speechless?
Because they've got Collado, who I've been hyping up this whole time. Furman's been in and out of the top five. Jose Devers is definitely a guy that has burst onto the scene. Angel Zarate's been great. Guy Lipscomb's been really good. Because Furman, Lipscomb, and Zarate have all been, were all college bats that they Cleveland drafted last year.
Furman's on base percentage for the season is currently .496 for getting on base enthusiasts.
I don't think he's staying at Lynchburg for much longer.
Is he going to keep stealing bases like that?
I would hope.
That's quite the pace.
Yeah. No, these guys are super fun. Yeah, they are just absolute thieves.
Yeah, keep an eye on the Hillcats for the rest of the season, and we'll see if we get some individual records, team records.
Had 9 or more steals at least 3 times this season in a game.
Like, that's... I'm not sure I ever managed to steal that many bases in OOTP. And they're just out there doing it. Let's go on to transactions.
Yeah, let's go to transactions.
I'm exhausted.
And we'll have we'll be more specific. We'll make it an actual thing on the podcast next 2 weeks. But yeah, going on to transactions. It was a busy, and these are just the main ones. David Fry got promoted to Cleveland because they need somebody that can hit lefties, and he got his first hit today. Tyler Freeman was promoted. Oscar Gonzalez was demoted. Sam Hentges was activated in Cleveland. Zach Plasek was demoted. Roman Quinn was released, which was to make room for George Valera, who's about to be activated.
We'll always have spring training, Roman.
Mm-hmm. In terms of new injuries there were more injuries than this, but the two new injuries that were to players that I think are, more significant were Petey Halpin at AA, outfielder on the 7-day injured list. I have not seen exactly why. And Ross Carver, who was the return in the Carlos Vargas trade with Arizona, he also was placed on the 7-day injured list with Akron. And for those of you wondering how Ethan Hankins was going to do, Cleveland activated him, which is great. Then they announced he was going to be starting in a game for Lake County, so he's not just going to be a bullpen guy. Even more joy, right? And that game did not go well. Hang on. Let me get these stats there. It's not pretty. So Ethan Hankins, in his single start, went 1 1/3 innings, allowed 3 hits, 2 walks, had 3 earned runs. Hang on, I'm missing something. So it didn't go well, but no, I need to find the more details. Oh, okay. I guess it wasn't. Yeah. So allowed 3 earned runs and 1 1/3 innings pitched with 2 walks and 3 hits and struck out 2. I guess I thought it was worse.
It is nice to hear that he is back as a starting pitcher, however.
Yes.
So we'll keep an eye on that as he continues his road back.
You know what? I had it stuck in my head. We cover high school baseball for my local newspaper, and there was a guy that hit 8 batters.
Oh.
And I was somehow getting that confused with Ethan Hankins. I thought he hit 8 people.
All good. They let him keep pitching?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And nobody charged the mound, apparently. So I don't know if he just wasn't throwing very hard or what. But...
that poor kid.
So, yeah, not the best start to the season for Ethan, but you just got to remember he's already thrown more this season than he did last season. Last year, I think he threw 1 inning. So he's thrown 1 1/3.
Already a success then.
And he's 6'6", 200 pounds, and he's thrown it in, 98, 99 miles an hour. He's returning from Tommy John surgery. Let's give him a little bit of a benefit of the doubt.
Oh, he has all the time in the world.
Yep.
Plus 5 seconds.
It seems like Lenny Torres and Josh Wolf have settled in as relievers, and Torres has been closing for Lake County. So, and he's been doing a pretty good job. So I'm just hoping that out of all these young prep arms, that they don't all just become, you know, bullpen guys. I want some of them to stick around as starters, like Tristan McKenzie did. So.
Well, I believe that brings us to the end of the podcast, Brian.
It does. And usually we like to do a little special something to close out the podcast. So take it away.
Who pays any attention to the syntax of things? We will never wholly swing. Like Michael Conforto.